Davies, would it be this about the chair of this committee? That's what I remember to introduce myself. And you are most welcome, my dear. Let us not discuss that yet. Can we come closer so that we can hear one another? Those that are late to join us. By the way, I'm also from Northwest. No, it's from the KCOP, representing the interest of the province.
My name is Marcelo Gustin. I'm from Halstead, a member of this committee.
Of our biodiversity and other related issues like your climate change, your pollution, the management of chemicals, you would know that we share quite a number of parts with our SADC, and this protocol would mainly facilitate that management much easier for us as a region. It's just merely also to make sure that policies are harmonized and also to come up with strategies and legal frameworks to enhance the regional coordination and success. I will not waste much time. It is just a very straightforward protocol. Chair, the relevant officials will take us through as the DG before the officials can also say one or two. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, DM, and good morning, honorable members and honorable chairperson. Sorry, I was driving from the airport, so I don't know how Obed made it, so they are speeding. Just to say that DM has already introduced the background to the presentation. We have two presentations. One is for the SADC protocol, which is about how we govern environmental, common and environmental matters across the boundaries within the SADC community. And then that will be led by, the presentation will be done by Stuart, and then the balloon will do the Kigali, which is the chemical protocol, it's for chemicals and waste. So we're starting with SADC protocol on the screen, and you have the presentation, honorable members, for written ratification of the South African Development Community Protocol on Environmental Management for Sustainable Development. And we would like the committee to consider this protocol in order for us to ratify as a country within SADC.
Thank you very much, G and Deputy Minister, for the introduction to the SADC Protocol of Environmental Management and Sustainable Development. Good morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Mayor. It's a pleasure to be in Cape Town on such a beautiful day. The SADC Protocol, although it seems like quite far from SADC down here, but we are part of the region. thank you. And then as the Deputy Minister and DG indicated, the request is for the NCOP and the Select Committee to, in terms of Section 2312 of the Constitution, to approve the ratification of the SADC Protocol on Environmental Management for Sustainable Development. The presentation has a number of issues around the background, what the protocol contains, how far we are in terms of process on the ratification road. And I'll just take you through, Chair and Honourable Members, briefly around the background. I think the Deputy Minister has covered a lot of that already, but it is in terms of the our international relation and cooperation agenda. It furthers the objective for a better Africa and a better world. It's also in line with the SADC Treaty to achieve sustainable utilization of natural resources and effective protection of the environment, as well as the Regional Indicative Strategic Development Plan of SADC. The protocol, honourable members, has already come a very long way. It was signed by former President Zuma at the 34th SADC Summit in August 2014 in Victoria Falls. And since then, it has undergone a number of processes in terms of consultation nationally, both with relevant government departments and provincial authorities through the working group process. And then it's also gone to the government's Continental Affairs Committee, through to the DG's Council and ICTS and also the Cabinet's approval. So the protocol covers a wide range of issues. As Guillaume said, waste management, chemicals, climate change, biodiversity, marine and inland water resources, so there's an oceans element to it as well as cross-cutting issues such as gender, science, technology, trade and investment. So essentially it's a governance instrument to enhance the protection of the environment in order to contribute to human health, well-being, and poverty alleviation. The promotion of equitable and sustainable utilization of natural resources for the environmental benefit of present as well as future generations, which is in line with our Constitution and our National Environmental Management Act, as well as the sharing of the management of transboundary environments and natural resources. Deputy Minister also mentioned the transfrontier conservation areas, we fall into that category, and promotion of effective management and response to climate change. So it is an instrument to help us cooperate at SADC on climate change issues, whether it be adaptation, mitigation, or mobilization of resources for collective and sub-regional climate change programs. It's consistent with Section 24 of the Constitution and in line with our National Development Plan objectives regarding the transition, equitable transition to a low carbon economy. In terms of the structure of the protocol, it has several parts, six in fact, as well as a preamble. I'll go through those briefly regarding the definition, scope, principles and objectives as part one. Part two being the actual management of the environment and transboundary considerations. Part three relates to the implementation, how the protocol is meant to be implemented regarding cross-border cooperation. And then cross-sectoral issues, institutional arrangements and final provisions. In terms of the preamble, it recognizes the SADC treaty provisions, the role of environmental management and socio-economic well-being, food security and poverty alleviation. It makes reference to also a number of international conventions and commitments we've made, such as the World Summit on Sustainable Development, Rio Plus 20 Summit, the issue around climate change, desertification, and all the other global issues are recognized in the preamble, which are very topical for environment at the moment, as well as the need for gender equality, inter-regional trade investment, economic and developmental integration. On the transboundary issues, it makes reference to the shared nature of our natural resources. As you know, natural resources cross political boundaries. Many of the ecosystems are common in the region and cross political and national boundaries. In terms of part one, the definition, the definition of environment is aligned to our own definition. In that the common default or the common understanding of environment in the SADC sub-region is the entire range of living and non-living factors that influence life on the earth as well as their interactions. Also recognizes the key principle of sustainable development, referring to the development that meets the needs of present generations without compromising the ability of future generations. And then on terms of the scope, as I said earlier, it covers the marine environment, aquatic, being inland water environment, terrestrial environments, as well as the atmosphere, living and non-living resources, and environmental management within SADC, as well as international activities outside SADC, which promote the objectives of the protocol. So it's a very wide-ranging instrument on environment. It's actually, you could equate it with the National Environmental Management Act for the SADC sub-region. In terms of principles, issues around environmental protection, sustainability, polluted place, as well as the proportionary principle, effective participation, as well as legislative considerations, and cooperation on multilateral environmental agreements. So So the ultimate objective is to promote the sustainable utilization of natural resources, protect the environment, and manage the transboundary environmental impacts. In terms of part two, this section, Honourable Chair and members, unpacks the various components of the environment. The air, the land, the water, waste, chemicals, conservation of biodiversity, marine and coastal areas, as well as heritage, natural heritage particularly, but as well as cultural heritage and the transboundary environmental impacts. Shared resources are also recognized in the region, the monitoring and reporting of environmental trends, the coordination and development of management plans, as well as efforts to harmonize legislation around environmental management in the region. In terms of implementation, which is covered in part three, the general undertakings of the member states would be responsibility of the management of the transboundary natural resources, the shared ecosystems, waste and pollution that goes crosses borders, monitoring and reporting, information management, exchange, and cooperation with neighboring states on environmental management. There is also a provision, honourable members, for shared responsibilities to enhance cooperative law enforcement efforts around environmental management, particularly where there's cross-boundary issues and cross-border environmental issues, such as monitoring and surveillance systems, as well as a more effective personnel and equipment for law enforcement. Regarding the harmonization of policies and legislation, the proposed measures to be undertaken, agreement of environmentally detrimental activities in the region, as well as cooperation on environmental crime, and a reference to the need for extradition where it's necessary, as well as the harmonization of penalties and increasing penalties for environmental crime to combat the scourge in the region. On international relations, there's an encouragement for member states in the SADC region to sign, ratify, and domesticate multilateral environmental agreements, such as the chemicals and waste, the climate change, biodiversity, and others, and to develop common positions at the SADC sub-region for the various conflicts parties for these multilateral environmental agreements. In terms of part four, this deals with the cross-sectoral issues regarding human resources development, including environmental education capacity building, enhancing skills, environmental management, transfer of best practices, and so on. It also touches on trade and investment, how to make this more sustainable for the region, and the encouragement of investments in environmental management, public-private partnerships, cleaner production, standards and certification, as well as access to markets. It's also recognized that science and technology innovation is very important for environmental management in the region and encourages the promotion of joint research programs, scientific advice, knowledge sharing in a number of early warning systems and remote sensing. Information management is also considered to be a key issue. How do we manage our information? How do we exchange it amongst member states? And what kind of reporting systems would be appropriate for the region? So it explains the methodologies and management for these in the protocol itself, as well as how to communicate and share these across member states. Around gender equality, gender mainstreaming of environmental management and climate change, and sustainable development policies, programs, projects, budgets, and implementation of gender responsive policy strategies, projects, and programs, including capacity building, education, and training, is contained as a key issue in the protocol. In terms of part five, which refers to the institutional arrangements on how to implement and manage issues around the environment and SADC. The protocol provides for the establishment of the Committee of Ministers responsible for the environment. Honourable members, they are meeting already and have been for a number of years, but this protocol essentially formalises that committee. South Africa hosted the SADC ministers responsible for environment, forestry, fisheries, tourism while we were still hosting SADC in 2017 in November in Victoria, which produced a number of decisions which are relevant to the implementation of this protocol. It also establishes a committee of senior officials to prepare for the ministers' meetings to ensure that the documents and decisions are in line with the agenda for the meetings and for the overall environment management program for the region, as well as a technical committee on environmental management, which would deal with specific issues, say, for example, on chemicals and waste management, how do we implement cross-border management of chemicals and wastes. And other specialist committees and working groups are also provided for in the protocol. So it does establish a set of institutions to manage the implementation of the protocol that describes the powers and functions of each. Part 6, Honourable Members, is really the final provisions, which are largely standard for most static protocols, including financial asset settlement of disputes, signature ratification, entry into force decision, with preservation, withdrawal, and amendments. In terms of the ratification process, we have gone very far down the path. We've had a number of consultations and steps that have been taken in terms of getting legal opinion from the Department of International Relations and Cooperation, as well as Justice and Constitutional Development, extensive consultations with provincial departments responsible for environment through the DO working group system, Devon particularly, as well as MinTech and MinMEC, and no objections were received in that process for South Africa's ratification. Then the protocol was submitted to the heads of the following national departments: Treasury, Culture, Trade, Industry, Economic Development, Agriculture, Forestry, Fisheries, Science, Technology, SAT, SARS, Transport, Defence and Management, Veterans, Water and Sanitation, International Relations, Cooperation, as well as the State Security Agency. And no objections were received from these departments, and some constructive comments were received when we were finalizing the draft of the protocol. Then it was presented to the Global and Continental Affairs Committee in August 2017, as well as the International Cooperation, Trade and Security Cluster, DG's Cluster, in 12th September 2017, and the ICTA Cabinet Committee on the 19th of September 2017. And then it was presented to the Portfolio Committee on Environmental Affairs on the 20th of February 2018, which recommended that the protocol be tabled in the National Assembly for approval for ratification. It was indeed tabled there on the 23rd of August 2018, and it was approved for ratification. In terms of the benefits, I think I've already covered a lot of those regarding the alignment of the protocol's objectives with the A Better Africa and A Better World, as well as the harmonization of policies, strategies, legal frameworks, and enhancing regional integration in SADC. So it's a contribution towards the regional integration agenda in SADC, as well as improving the management of shared and transboundary natural resources. Coming into force of the protocol would, as I said, create that legal basis for South Africa to cooperate with other SADC member states through a recognized SADC process on those key environmental issues which I've highlighted already, such as the environmental management more broadly, as well as combating environmentally detrimental activities, as well as raising the penalties in the region for environmental crimes. Joint implementation of environmental impact assessments will also be facilitated through this protocol. EIAs, which cover our cross-border infrastructure development, this protocol also lays the framework for those. Also, in terms of South Africa's interests, promoting a sound and improved transboundary environmental management system with the enhance cooperation in SADC would be consistent with our objectives in promoting the regional integration agenda of SADC, as well as the regional and development plan of the SADC region. It also provides South Africa's ratification with a clear signal that the country is committed to strengthening regional efforts to conserve transboundary natural resources and promote sustainable development and sound environmental management in the region. And we would also, as a leading economy, of course, in the SADC region, be expected to take some form of a leadership role in the implementation. In this regard, honourable members, implementation plan would be drawn up by the National Department of Environmental Affairs in consultation with the relevant provinces and other agencies, and that would be taken through a SADC process to develop a proper strategy and implementation plan for the implementation of the protocol. Then on slide 25, again we make reference to being in line with section 24 of the Constitution on the Environment, which advocates for the conservation of sustainable natural resource uses, so the ratification will also not compromise the territorial integrity of South Africa. Gender mainstreaming, I think I've covered that. And the linkage to global security in respect to issues around climate change, desertification, biodiversity loss, and diminishing water resources, and degradation of the Earth's capacity to assimilate pollution and waste. Although this doesn't mention any, the protocol itself doesn't mention any specific security-related measures undertaken by SADC member states in this regard. This is to note that there may be some security implications around migration and displacement of people as a response to environmental change. Harmonization of law enforcement and policies, I talked about that as well. Then in terms of the coming into force, you would need at least 9 member states of SADC to ratify. Unfortunately, the rate of ratification of honourable members of this protocol has been rather slow. Starting in 2014, I think we've only got 3 out of the 16 SADC member states who actually ratified the protocol. So if South Africa does ratify it, we'll be able to do so. So essentially, during our chairship, we also promoted and undertook to ratify the protocol. We were hoping that we would do it a little bit sooner on the chair and honourable members, but this is where we are at the moment. So, in conclusion, honourable members, it's recommended that the National Committee of Provinces, Parliament, approves the ratification of the SADC Protocol on Environmental Management for Sustainable Development in terms of Section 231(2). Thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much for the presentation. Honourable members, I'm not sure. Can you tell us that? Are you going to engage with this one? Finish? Or can we take the 2 presentations that have been noted areas where you want? So let's attend for you. Maybe for questions, yes.
Thank you, Chair. We are things have been taking too long, so don't wait for us to engage later, let's do it now. Chair, first I would say that it's good to see the DM present meeting. And I think this has been gone through quite a process already. And I don't know if we, at this stage, need to add in or delete anything that has already been so nicely presented to us this morning. And I want to say that this committee supports this, and we should now take it to the House.
Honourable member.
Thank you very much, Chair. And let me also take it to the House. But the members are saying no. But they will try to reach it, to push it as quickly as possible.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. I stated earlier that I'm an alternate to this call, so it's my first time.
You're a full member now.
No, I'm not prepared to attend the Finance Committee, Chair M46. So we made arrangements because my committee is not sitting today. So now finance is a priority. If we don't deal with those issues that are from the budget, it means it will be here to one of the press. So that's why it is being prioritized now. Chair, I have some questions. I know what members are already pushing for it to be adopted. We don't have the forum for now. At a point of fact, to start here, I had wished that perhaps we could have the full document with the articles of the protocol. I know the document, the presentation referred to some articles as well as 35, which could have a full document with all those protocol articles. I did a presentation to talk about one country that has ratified, but in the presentation, say three. I wish we could have names of those three countries. But also, I noted the processes that we went through in terms of consultation. But I'm just concerned that this was signed in 2014. The likelihood that it may not be ratified by South Africa because of the challenge now here of ECORA. We're only left with 3 weeks before the European rises on the 28th of March. I don't know. Supposed to by the 28th, the last plenary session. If it misses that plenary session, then it will be put to the 6th parliament. So that's why I'm concerned about the delay with regard to bringing it to the NCOP. At that point, also to check whether we are still going to have a similar protocol at the level of the continent, the basic protocol as well. The other question here would be the financial implication of ratifying this protocol. What is it that South Africa will be, will there be a fund, for example, to implement the objectives of the treaty? And what will be the financial implications for that? Whether the issues that are highlighted in the treaty, we as South Africa developed policies and the legislative framework in terms of implementing these issues, or are they going to wait for the ratification of the treaty? Similarly, with the other countries that are under certain, how far are they with regard to developing the legislative framework and also policies around the issue that are indicated in the treaty? Those are the issues. Just wanted to clarify on, but with regard to the ratification, I hope that that's going to add numbers in the alternative. Now I'm disappointed that even the members of the committee themselves are not here. Thank you very much.
No, thank you very much, honorable members. Thanks for the presentation, of course. as we are aware that honorable members are politicians and are already now in the election mood. Others are even disappointed that are not even appearing on the list. So they shouldn't bring the politics of the list to the work of parliament. And we will work hard in contact with the chief whip to make sure that in our next meeting, indeed we form a quorum so that the business of parliament should continue. The ratifications are very critical. You know, look at the ecological ratifications, this matter of poaching. So in the SADC, really, it is of paramount importance that to ratify the SADC. For instance, say if you are in the Kruger National Park, one of our nearest, very station towards the Mozambique Fund. The rhino pollution is easier when a person cross the border. Your communication, which is with a further community, it will be very much easier. It may be easier. But I'll hand over to yourself. Maybe respond to some other questions, and also appreciate the inputs that honorable members on this matter. Thank you.
In terms of the full document, our apologies for circulating that was an oversight. I think we swear you can circulate that to the honorable members, which gives more fish. It's quite elaborate in terms of the articles. We can explain what I'm trying to summarize in the presentation later. The names of the countries that have ratified, I think at the time that the presentation was made to the PCEA, there was only one country. That country's name has also changed in the intro. From Swaziland to Eswatini. So they were the SADC chair earlier before us, and they took leadership and ratified the protocol quite quickly. They were the first, so we had to congratulate the SADC for taking that initiative and showing seriousness about environmental management in the region. Subsequently, Namibia ratified, and Mauritius indicated that they also ratified. So that's the information that I have at present, but that may also change. And we were hoping that we would at least be number four, so that we can get to the nine. Also, honourable members, the delay in bringing this protocol to the NCOP, we must apologise. It was presented a year ago to the National Assembly, so we were hoping to present it very soon after that presentation to the NCOP. At the AU level, we are also pleased to announce that we do have an African convention. It's called the Convention on the Conservation of Nature and Natural Resources. The African Convention on the Conservation of Nature and Natural Resources. It's known as the Maputo Convention. It's a revised convention that was adopted by the African Union in 2003 after its predecessor. It's the first African Convention on Nature and Conservation of Nature and Natural Resources, known as the Algiers Convention, was adopted by the Organization of African Unity in 1968. It just shows you that Africa has been thinking about the conservation of its rich and abundant natural resources for a long time. Even during that period, during the OAU time, it was taken as something which the organization saw as a serious issue, given that a lot of the economies of Africa actually depend on natural resources directly. Now we are trying to promote, of course, the value addition and beneficiation of those natural resources, which the static protocol is also promoting. So that convention, the Maputo Convention, is in force. It recently came into force about 2-3 years ago, and South Africa will be assuming the chair of the African Ministerial Conference on the Environment this year for a 2-year period, in which time we will work with the African Union Commission to hold the first Council of the Maputo Convention to complement what we're doing after SADC. So we are moving at a continental level as well in promoting sound management of natural resources. In terms of the financial implications, yes, there would be, and those would depend on the level of how we want to implement this protocol. So it would also depend on the capacity, both financially and human resources, as well as technical support. On the climate change programs, I think this program, we could look at a static program on adaptation to climate change, for example, would form part of the implementation. Meeting of law enforcement officers and compliance and enforcement people in the respective environmental ministries, as well as South African police services, and so on, would also form part of the implementation of this. So we can have more effective joint operations, more effective information exchange, surveillance and intelligence exchange. It would promote and facilitate such an issue. So it would depend on the resources of the respective countries. But South Africa, I'm sure, will take the lead where possible to promote this. On the policies,
thank you, Dr. Chair. Thank you, honourable members, for the contributions that you made. Just in terms of the questions, just to add on the South Africa is a member of the community already made contributions. There are 7 membership contributions. And therefore, in addition, depending on the level of the ambition we want to drive an environmental or implement an environmental program, we then probably then as member states would have those abilities to make a review and have a review of what is the financial and additional financial that would pertain. So we currently also we have been just finding some of the human resources within the public office. So I guess our response is that we will continue at the level currently that we are investing within SADC. Even in terms of our transfrontier conservation program, we already as a country have been playing a leadership role both in putting resources and infrastructure and including promoting the investment in some of those protected areas. So at this point in time, we don't have a number that says this is the actual amount, but those are the implications in respect of financial resources that may be required to implement the program. And in respect of the legislative framework between the region, I think we can say as South Africa, actually, in our role currently as members of SADC, we have been contributing to harmonization of legislation within the region, both in respect of wildlife management and also even in terms of the environmental authorization system. You may recall, when the infrastructure across border, like the Lesotho Water Highlands, it is best if we have
alignment in legislation so that the environmental authorization system is going to look into the sustainability of planning on par across the side of Sutu as well as in the South African side. So we've had some practice and cooperation on this in the legislative front, but in some countries they've not been fully promulgated as legislation. But South African legislation, the National Environmental Management Act legislation, has been utilized to then compare notes. We have been also engaging, for example, with Zimbabwe when we had our bilateral engagement. They have specific interest in terms of comparing legislation, both in terms of water resource management or catchment management, and also in respect of chemicals management. On wildlife management, Zimbabwe has had a good, for example, legislation, and we have also taken some aspects of that into our own legislative instrument. So the response that I'm giving, and if I also just use Lesotho as an example, recently Lesotho had managed to have an inscription of the first world heritage site and supported by South Africa both in terms of the preparation of the dossier and the implementation program in order for Lesotho to meet its obligation in terms of the World Heritage Act and utilizing the South African World Heritage legislation provisions. So I can say that we could give you a list, honourable members, we don't have it now, to say this is what legislation, environmental legislation, pertains to this country in comparison with what we have. If that is required, we can still provide, but we do appreciate that South Africa does actually provide leadership in some of the various different aspects of environmental legislation within the region. Thank you very much. I think that's all for the questions. All the questions. Thank you. Yes, DG and George. Thank you very much. You know, it's a pity, Chair, that we cannot really do what we're supposed to do because of the numbers. I was going to make a plea to the Chair whether we cannot maybe this week or sometime next week try and squeeze so that we push it through this step to talk about the next administration. It's a bit too far. I mean, taking the importance of this, it covers almost, for me, it's like the king and queen of protocol. Because it takes everything along. But then one is also concerned about the other member states that have not done what they're supposed to do, because then how are we expected to manage these shared, you know, resources that we have? We can lead the way in South Africa, but we can't do it alone. But I was just going to give the Chair whether you could try your best and see that it does go through with this, Parliament. That's true.
Thank you very much. Good year. And unfortunately, at the 11th hour of the 10th is where we find ourselves here. There were quite a number of circumstances that, of course, led to this, not only being of the committee's own challenge. We will share all these frustrations, but nonetheless, we're also looking at the importance and the essence of this two protocols that indeed we must go through. So this is why I've indicated that I will enable us to be engaging with the chief whip to find a way of how best to communicate with this matter. As we can allow maybe the second presentation, if you can get in on this.
One question.
Okay, go ahead.
Chair, what I'd like to know from the Secretariat, members have received this presentation sometime about 2 weeks now. Is there any protocol that we have that we could get a vote on this without they being present at the meeting? Because between now and the closure, the opposition parties are really not going to do anything. So if we could try, when you're speaking to the chief, if there's a possibility of that, getting a written vote from them and getting our vote who's here, that can pass. So that this year, this term, you could get this pass in this term.
Well, thank you very much for that, members, and thanks for the commitment to make sure that as honorable members of Parliament, we should try to do the honorable work, not tend to be horrible. Can we allow the second presentation?
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Good morning. Good morning, Honourable Members, Deputy Minister, Deputy and colleagues. The purpose of our presentation this morning is basically to request Parliament to approve the ratification of the Montreal Protocol on the substances that which is the ozone layer to include hydrofluorocarbons. And this amendment was agreed in Kigali in Rwanda in 2016. So the amendment is basically referred to as the Kigali Amendment. Just a quick background. So we are a party to the Vienna Convention that came into effect in 1985. Honourable members will remember that the scientists found an ozone hole in the 80s. And as a result, there was discussions and negotiations to make sure that we protect the environment and human health from the ultraviolet rays that we were exposed to because of the ozone hole that ultimately led to the adoption of the Vienna Convention in 1985 that set the framework with regard to the protection of the ozone layer. And then the Montreal Protocol came into effect in 1989. That set the target of what needs to be done to be able to, first of all, obviously, recover the hole on the ozone and at the same time be able to protect it. One of the biggest targets that was set at that time was the phasing out of chlorofluorocarbons, the CFCs, and that was in 2010. When we phase out the chlorofluorocarbons, we're using the hydrochlorofluorocarbons as an alternative. The hydrochlorofluorocarbons have also been found that they still have an impact on the ozone layer. So we move on alternatives, which is the hydrofluorocarbons. Now, all these substances are basically used in air conditioning, they're used in refrigeration. Those are the substances that we currently are using. Now, the hydrofluorocarbons, the HFCs, are ozone friendly, but the problem with them is that they are a potent climate gas, they're a greenhouse gas. The Montreal Protocol does not deal with anything that does not affect the ozone. But because the hydrofluorocarbons were introduced as an alternative to an ozone-depleting substance, the Vienna Convention holds us responsible for dealing with the impact of the alternative that a result. And that's why the negotiations ultimately resulted in agreeing that we need to phase down the hydrofluorocarbons, which is the HFC. That is a bit of the background. Now, the Kigali Amendment, as indicated, was agreed upon at the 28th meeting of the parties of the Montreal Protocol, which was held in October 2016 in Rwanda. I have indicated the problem with the HFCs is that it is a greenhouse gas, and obviously we know the issues of the climate change impact, and with the phasing down of hydrofluorocarbons, we are contributing positively with regards to the climate change.
Also explain what ozone, so all of the members, I want them to make sure that we don't lose you. Explain the atmosphere, what is the ozone, so that you can get.
In fact, I was going to, later on, not here in this meeting, I was going to say of it, they have put this protocol in such a way that I'm able to use it in my campaign. You understand?
I'm with you.
What does it do for our people? Why is it important? You know, it's simple, yes. You taught me what all the layer is. That's how I like to put it. In a way that when I stand there and campaign, I must tell this empty government has even done this and this, put it that way.
Yeah, no, okay. Interesting. So we're going to have a room for education. Go to the elderly language so that I can be with you, because we are too scientific. Okay. Terminology that we are using, I think you need students of science and math and all that. So, how do you solve a matter of wow, that's a good one. You know, you mind the value, the level of IP, the blue sky that is now disappearing. What is this language that we are talking? Thank you.
I apologize. I will go back a little bit with regards to then the explanation, and I'll try to remember the whole presentation.
You're doing it very well. For me, because you explained, you know, from the Vienna Convention, how it is affected by the protocol itself. I think you are doing well.
Very well.
So we were able to, but at the end now we are not dealing with the Montreal protocol, but we are dealing with the amendment, politically amendment.
Thank you. Maybe just to justify the issues of the ozone and obviously where it engages. I mean, the ozone is basically like an umbrella that protects us from the ultraviolet, right? It is the sunscreen. The reason we use the sunscreen, and when we are in the sun, we told to put on hats, is so that the UV rays do not affect us negatively. Now, naturally, we have the ozone layer. And that ozone layer now is a hole that allows dangerous things to go through. And then there's environmental impact, there's human health impact, for example, can be cancerous as well. The issues of the skin cancer comes from that. The plants are getting affected with regards to the dangerous UV rays that they are exposed to. So the Montreal Protocol obviously was intended to protect us from that. And then in the different application of alternatives, we found alternatives, but this one then has an impact as well with regards to climate change. And we have an obligation as the parties to the Vienna Convention to make sure that whatever alternative that we have introduced should be environmentally friendly, not only look into the ozone issues, but look into the environment as a whole. So with regards to what the negotiations applied to, the decisions were made with regards to when we need to phase down So this is not necessarily a complete phase-out, because there are some applications that would not have alternatives. So it is a phase-down, particularly for the in applications, the refrigeration and air conditioning applications that do have alternatives to be able to employ those. There are different baselines. So we calculate in the application, the setting of target, we calculate baselines. Now for the HFCs, the agreement is that for developing countries, there's two groups in the developing countries that have been applied. First of all, where South Africa falls in is that we need to calculate our baseline from 2020 to 2022. So we average the usage of the HFCs and then we say this is our baseline. And then the reduction targets would be based on those on the baseline. We know this is where we're starting and this is where we need to be by a certain period. I can give an example currently with the HCFCs that we're phasing out. The end target is 2014. By 2019, as South Africa, our target is that we must have reduced by 35%, which all throughout the years we have been meeting that target. It has not been a problem so far. Now, I'll get into the time frames, but with regards to the financial mechanism, so the Montreal Protocol is one of the most successful international agreement because it has a powerful financial support, which is the multilateral fund. That fund supports the developing countries to be able to meet their obligations, to be able to meet their targets. And in all the negotiations that we are involved in, we do indicate the difficulties if we are not going to be given the funding to be able, because when you're phasing out, you will have to take, sometimes you have to take out the equipment, and the funding for that may be problematic and very costly. So they assist us with regards to the funding for the application and the implementation of the Montreal Protocol. With regards to the phase down schedules, I've indicated the calculation of the baseline. So between 2024 and 2028, we basically will not be doing anything. We just we call it a freeze period. We are using the same amount that we have been using between 2020 and 2022. So we are using within the baseline. And then from 2029 to 2034, the target is to reduce our baseline by 10%. And between 2035 and 2039, we reduce by 20%. Between 2040 and 2044, we reduce by 50%. And from 2045 and thereafter, we are at 20%. That 20% is allowing us where we may have applications that do not have alternatives. So we're not necessarily taking the HFC out completely where we may not have alternatives. I have indicated that there are two groups of the developing countries. We listed them on the slide. The other, most of the developing countries are in group one. In group two, we have Bahrain, India, Iran, Iraq, Kuwait, Oman, Pakistan, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, and the UAE. They have a different schedule for the phase down. And their argument was the fact that they are basically in a very hot condition that it's difficult for them to find alternatives even currently. So their phase down schedule is a little bit different from what most of the developing countries are having. With regards to the basic domestic needs, as I indicated, we have to assess where do we have alternatives and where we don't have alternatives. When we come up with our own regulatory framework, we will prioritize the phase down in applications that do have alternatives already. And we have already started with working with industry. Most of the industry, instead of, because we're phasing out HCFC, they have leapfrogged the process. Instead of installing technologies that use HFC, they are already going directly to alternatives that don't use HFC. So they don't have to redo the process again. So they are moving ahead of the time. We are required to have a licensing process so that whoever is bringing in these substances into South Africa, we are permitting them, so that we can be able to have controls with regards to how much is allowed to come into South Africa and is not allowed, so that we have good control and also be importantly be able to report our progress and implementation with regards to the different targets. Article 5 provides for the special situation of the developing countries, and this is where basically it outlines the different time periods for the phase down and the application of the different regulations in the different two groups of the developing countries. The developed countries are obviously most of the substances are produced there, so they then have to look into the reduction of the production of the substances. And obviously, as the user, because we don't produce the substances in South Africa, as the users, if the developing countries that are producing the substances stop using that and we do not have alternatives, we may find ourselves then in trouble if we do not already start looking into the phase down of the HFCs. So it is in that background, as I indicated, we are a party to both the Vienna Convention and the Montreal Protocol. So what we are asking for is a approval for the ratification to allow the management of HSCs to be under the Montreal Protocol. And I think Honourable Member was talking earlier on about the ratification. We currently are sending a 65 international 65 ratification, and then 25 of those are African. And SADC, the protocol, we have 8 countries in the SADC region that have already ratified the Kigali Amendment, and we're looking to be one of those as well. So that is all, Honourable Chair, Honourable Member. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks for the presentation. Do you have anything? Okay. One of the members for the presentation.
Any input, any question? Honorable Sai, Honorable
Chair. Yes, Chair, I think the request will be the same with regard to the food procurement, so that we are clear about the referring to Article 5. Just want to find out how many countries have ratified the Kigali Amendment. I know that was given for in the process. But another question would be, can a country just ratify the amendment without ratifying the Montreal Protocol itself, or vice versa? Can you ratify the protocol without the ratifying the amendments? What would be the implication of that? But also with regard to the financial contribution, I understand this one has a fund. How much are we contributing to that as South Africa? The other question has would be the status now currently of the own area in terms of being able recovery. I don't know, maybe I missed out here, what is the target for the full recovery of the own area? the other question, perhaps if you can just clarify because I'm new to this set committee, I used to be in this committee. I just want to prepare for me, in terms of information, how do you locate the protocol within the broader United Nations framework on climate change agreement that also the Paris Agreement, for example, how do you relate the protocol to those to the UN framework? Sometimes get confused whether there is a necessity to have a protocol in the United Nations framework on climate change.
also now with the Donald Trump, the new president of America, who has withdrawn from signing the Paris Agreement, what are the implications with regard to this particular amendment, for example? Are they implementing or are they ratifying the Kigali Amendment, or they are raising the same as why they withdraw from the Paris Agreement?
So those are the questions. Thank you, Chair. Chair, I want to thank the department for this presentation. I know that the questions may be put to be more simplified, but that's fine that you've got the gist of it and you understand the seriousness of the matter. Chair, I would say the longer we take to do the rectification of this, we are committing a criminal offence for future generations to come. If this can't be passed in this first parliament, we as members of parliament have failed in the first parliament to pass something as important as this. I think that whatever needs to be done to get this thing passed, because we don't know in the sixth parliament, the members of parliament will come in, how long they would take to put this back on this. And if it takes a year, then we have really failed the future generations. So I think that we need to take this thing seriously today. Once again, I want to say, if there's any other protocol in regards to getting members to give us the vote in writing, they can't come to the meeting because they're campaigning out there, or they are not on the list, or whatever reason they are not here, let's get the vote. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. Maybe let's hand over to the department to respond to those questions.
I want him to
answer
the
I will deal with the two questions, the one about the U.S. and the kind of non-commitment to the Paris Agreement and in relation to the ratification of Kigali, but Obed can conclude. What is happening with the UN, with the U.S. in the U.N. system currently on both the multilateral what is clear is that there is more an undermining of multilateralism and a greater focus on unilateralism. So they are still, various states in the U.S. are committed to the Paris Agreement and other environmental multilateral agreements. So I guess in the current arrangement, they may not sign up to new multilateral instruments because the president is of the U.S. but not quite the commitment that they want to make on behalf of the country. So I think the U.S. is in a cash-22 situation currently, but they are visible, they are still involved in the implementation of the sustainable development objectives. So climate action, most of the private sector in the U.S. is putting investments to enable to catalyze the climate action. Some cities have ambitious programs to reduce carbon emissions. So, and some cities, they call them states, by the way. So in essence, I think we could say that we are working within the context of
2050, we would have healed
observations that happening every year. We, our weather services as well, monitor the ozone. So that the information is consolidated and then it's presented at all regional departments. There has been improvement. The estimation was that in 2050 we should have built. However, last year then they indicated CFC that we thought was completely done. We have picked up new emissions, which is a threat to the 2050 heating. But that is being dealt with as well. The particularly coming from China, where there may be illegal activities producing CFCs again. But China is dealing with that effectively. They are committed to making sure that we are ultimately healing. The ratifications in 65. So the Kigali Amendment came into effect in January. It was just after the part of the EU submitted their ratification, which required 50 parties to have ratified for it to come into effect. So in January we had then the 50 parties that have ratified, but now we're currently standing at 25. 24 from Africa and 8 from our Madagascar region. The last one, honorable members, is the protocol. Can you ratify the amendment without being having ratified the protocol, or can you do it by president? You need first to be the party to be able to ratify an amendment. But yet you may choose not to ratify an amendment to the protocol. Thank you.
Thank you very much, honorable members. Second by.
This is a part that talks about January. Given that South Africa has not yet ratified, what does then this champion mean for South Africa?
It's reporting. So the Metro Protocol works on a calendar year. So all the reporting is up until December. So we need to report for the year. On the HFCs, there's no obligation for reporting. And we're reporting on what we have been using, which is the HCFC and the other substances, not only the HFCs. We still use them. So we report what we have completed. So there is no obligation currently that China has with regard to HFC. But as well, I mean, the phase down, as you would have seen, is much later on as we go into the future.
Okay, I just want to also just point hand over to you, DM and DG, to wrap out so that. Okay,
the issue that E.G. was explaining, because I it from the question I was asking about the process. If my understanding is correct, you identify three areas by the DCG, climate change, desertification. I take it that then the UN FCCC is responsible for climate change. So, and therefore the desertification, I take it is which one is it?
UNCG.
Oh, okay.
Convention to combat
desertification.
Okay. And then the biodiversity country, normally called CBD, is the Convention on Biological Diversity. And they all have protocols also. For example, the land degradation of the land city has got a drought protocol. And there are a number of others in the biodiversity. We've got a protocol on biosafety, which is about the use of genetically modified organisms also about bioprospective use of plants and beneficiaries.
And then they have the Montreal Protocol to be done.
It needs more defining of plants in its climate. But if waste, chemicals and waste are overall a separate convention altogether. But it's a UN convention. But it was not. The main ones that were the initial convention going forward. It has not been used other than two. Okay, the chemicals and waste. So the relationship between the torture and the orbit of China when the Vienna Convention and the Montreal Protocol, how they bring back to the UNFCCC. And it's the same as emissions from transport, which is the shipping emission. And they are more regulated under, what is it? It was ICAO, which the other one. ICAO, which is the weather system, it's IMO, which is the International Maritime Organization. They are all under the UN system, but they've been back by the main convention that deals with climate, even if the others have calculated emissions or they would have to take mitigation measures. They're still governed by those other conventions. But in between the conventions, in the UN system, they are engaging in the to look at areas of alignment.
So the abandonment programs are aligned?
Yes. They are all, at least they are all in one book. But the only challenge in South Africa, chemicals are not only managed by through environmental legislation. Labor legislation, with health, and transport, with agriculture, with pesticides, and so on. So we are the department that is looking at what all of those regulations, how they relate to the impact on the environment, because we are the custodians for environmental.
Thank you, Chairman. I just wanted to add on the issue of the Trump administration, because it is quite a matter of concern. Tricky but very unwise moves that they have taken. On the one hand, I'm always amazed because they participate on this international platform dealing with these issues. So it's quite a tricky one. Perhaps they are not talking in one language. You know, it could be possible that Trump is allowing this, the way I look at it. But remember in Egypt, they were there. And in Egypt, we were actually dealing with the actual implementation of the Paris Agreement. They were there participating. So it's quite a tricky, unwise move. I just wanted to mention that.
Thank you. Thank you, honorable member. Thank you. Thank you. This was the last. And others of adopting it should be we'll keep in communication, just keep it close. Because once we have managed to organize the meeting that will be successful, maybe two, three, that the presenter can also be at some other areas that we should have. Thank you very much.